From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, preseason thoughts on game number two. Got preseason game number three immediately after this episode as we air this October 16th, 2019 on a Wednesday. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. We only have 30 minutes to knock this out, so let's get right into it right away, immediately. Dominic DiNardo, DP, what's up, my man? We're going to talk some Knicks at preseason game number two. Got some thoughts on the game versus the Hawks tonight and as well as the Pelicans on Friday. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, Steven.
Good evening. How you doing, sir?
Good. I was trying to get a cup of coffee, Steve, at 7 o'clock at night. I'm sorry.
You staying up late tonight, huh? Get the caffeine going?
You know what, Steve? Speaking of the Knicks, this will be the first time I get to watch a preseason game because I've been, you know, glued on the Yankees, so I don't like to mix apples and oranges. But yeah, this will be the first time I get to see them.
Yeah, hopefully they can make up for what happened last Friday. We all know that the preseason games technically don't count towards the standings, regular season standings, but I thought that the second quarter last Friday was abysmal. It was very poor. They gave up a lot of perimeter shots. It was the shades of the Knicks from 2013 up until last year. But tonight, let's start with tonight's game. We'll go back to the Wizards game. So we play the Hawks. So what you want to see out of the players tonight as far as production, whether they win or lose, what kind of effort do you want to see tonight?
Well, what I want to see, Steve, because even though I don't watch, I still stay up with the stats. What I want to see is what I don't want to see. You just started with that. Remember that preseason game against the Rockets when they couldn't guard the three? Well, by golly, they couldn't guard the three against the Wizards, couldn't they? No, this is weird, Steve. Change of players and the same thing. So I want to see that. I want to see what Fizdale has been talking about. You know, Dennis Smith, you know, he's worked hard. He's had a setback. You know, he's still looking to see who's going to be the point guard, which I don't understand. The other two guys shot 5 for 19 in two games with 17 points. I mean, Dennis Smith could come in there with crutches and should be able to win that job. But it's what Fizdale says, so I'll be looking for that, see how Dennis Smith plays. The rest of the guys I ain't too worried about, Steve. I'm not worried about Randle. I think he is what he is, and he's going to show us that. Morris, Knox, yeah, maybe Knox. I want to see something out of him. R.J. Barrett, I got to pump my brakes with him. I know he's working on enough stuff, his shot, still a rookie. So it's really the guys that are in their second and third years that I want to see something from, other than, Steve, that perimeter defense. That shit can't keep happening. Excuse me, I didn't mean to curse. That can't keep happening.
No, you can't curse.
That can't happen, Steve. We had this conversation. And it's funny how we always bring that up, but it seemed like that's when the Knicks really totally started going off the cliff in that one preseason game against the Rockets when Porzingis couldn't guard Anderson. Then that just snowballed to them nobody being able to guard the perimeter, the three. And I see this stat the other day. I'm like, oh, please tell me this ain't happening again. No. So that's basically what I want to see, Steve. Some Dennis Smith, of course. I just want to see him specifically. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, Steve, it's the first game I'll be able to watch. So I will be glued in probably just for the first half.
Yeah, that's true. That is part of it. You're right, man. We have not seen him in Dennis Smith Jr. with the lineup. And he brings a totally different dimension than what Elfrid Payton does athletically. And also the same thing with Frank Ntilikina. Just the athleticism part of Dennis Smith, that dimension, I think, is going to open up a lot of things offensively for the Knicks. Still got to see him perform defensively. Got to see him, like all the guys, like all these guys have got to find a way to get involved defensively on the perimeter. Bobby Portis came into the game on Friday. I thought he was kind of instant offense. Last Friday, he was instant offense with the units. I thought he looked good offensively, but it all goes back to defense. Going back to Mitchell Robinson, a guy we've said with the pump faking, you started to see a little bit of that in the game, preseason game number one versus the Wizards. But in the game versus the preseason game number two, he was susceptible to the personal fouls again with the pump fakes. What's really killing him, and hopefully we don't run into a lot of teams like this in the league, where Thomas Bryant for the Wizards was raining perimeter threes on him, and it was kind of a little bit of a matchup problems with some of the guys from the Wizards on Friday. You know, Thomas Bryant was knocking down a couple of threes. Wagner is a big guy who could definitely shoot the rock, was knocking down threes. So these stretch fours and stretch fives were really having the Knicks play way out of their comfort zone. What I also did see, the chances I did get to see the games, was Marcus Morris is the more productive Knick on the floor. It seems when he goes out, the defensive energy, maybe more so on the perimeter, starting with the three, fours, and the fives, it goes down. It goes down by a lot. Elfrid Payton on Friday was a non-factor offensively. He did not score. I think he missed every shot that I can remember. So if we're talking about making a case as far as who starts, this is really Dennis Smith Jr.'s job to lose. I mean, I can't see him not starting. You know what I'm saying? Nothing to say that matters in the big scheme of things, but to get off the good starts of games, Dennis Smith Jr. probably has to start. Based off Elfrid Payton by default stinking up the joint in preseason game number two, Dom. I definitely want to see the progression of R.J. Barrett more defensively. I know he has a lot on his plate and a lot of expectations with the number three pick, Dom. But I thought offensively he was fine. He went to the paint. I mean, we know what R.J. Barrett is. He was doing R.J. Barrett things as far as running the break, converting to the lane, shooting with the offhand. He's been fine. I'm cool with that. But what really bothered me with the Knicks in the second quarter, and this is more about Fizdale than anything, like where was the defensive energy? Where was it? I mean, you got a team, a roster of almost 15 guys deep, and you didn't bring the effort in the second quarter, man. Like, what about Fizdale? What's your thoughts on what you want to see out of Fizdale tonight? Coaching.
Steve, you know, I know this is a shot in the dark, talking Fizdale, but actually talking to you. Would it be that much of a negative if they tried starting Portis at center? I mean, because this guy's defense may be great with blocking shots, but he can't stay on the court. You need guys that can stay on the court. You know, Portis, I'm going to get away from what he did, Steve. You know, it's a new year, new team. I think he brings more versatility than Mitchell Robinson. What I really want to see from Fizdale within the next 2 days and come next week is what I've been saying for a year, Steve. I want to see a set five, a set rotation, and let's go. I don't want to see no more of this summer league tryout stuff for a whole year. No, no, no. We're not doing that again. Please don't do that. I want to see whoever's starting is starting. I understand injury, Steve. But you got to ride or die with them. You just can't say, okay, Steve had two turnovers tonight. Oh, I'm going to start Dominic. You know, and then Dominic has two turnovers. Oh, we're going to bring back in Steve. You need some stability. And I think Steve, as quiet as it's kept, that's the biggest thing other than him working on his shot that R.J. Barrett really has to become accustomed to. He played for a very structured team, though it was 1 year. He played for a very structured team in Duke with a very structured coach. So they knew what they was doing night after night, game after game. They knew where to be, who was the point guard, who was the power forward. RJ pulling up, slashing. They knew this. And again, Steve, R.J. Barrett played every game, an average playing, I think, 2 minutes less than every game. So he had that, I hate to use the word structure because I haven't seen it with Fizdale yet, and I'm hoping this is it. But that's another thing that R.J. Barrett's really got to get used to, because if the losses start piling up, he's going to get flashbacks. Well, you know, we didn't do that in Duke. And I mean, I know it's college and the NBA, Steve. I know it. But the kid's still 19 years old. So he's still going to go back into what made him successful, what made a team successful. And I don't think we want to ruin his psyche with a bunch of, you know, in and out type of thing like we saw all last year. Steve, we did this all last year to check people's progression, development, and then we got rid of all of them. And now we got Trier and Dotson, who, from what I see, aren't getting much burn. They're the guys you brought back that you supposedly developed last year. So he's got a lot to prove to me, Steve. He, to me, Dominic, he's starting out on the hot seat. I'm sorry. Maybe that's just me. But after what I saw last year, if I see any glimpses of that this year, they need to start, you know, cranking up the volume on that hot seat. Maybe look somewhere else. That's just me. But he's got a lot. He's got a lot to prove, Steve, to me at least.
You know what? You bring up a good point with Mitchell Robinson. That may, you know, what may fit with these this roster for this year, from what I'm seeing with out of these guys in preseason action, and I know it's only two games versus the Wizards, but, hey, look at it like this. You may have a point as far as Bobby Portis starting. I mean, he played about almost 30 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, on Friday, all right? And he was productive, all right? He got you. He probably almost got you a double-double in 30 minutes of play. Now, look at it like this. If you was to do that, now, I'm not saying Fizdale will, because I think Fizdale's kind of set in his ways with starting Mitchell Robinson. But it may not work. You know, he may have to come off the bench. See, I don't think even coming off the bench is a bad thing, Tom. Think about it like this. If he came off the bench, he's going to be playing alongside a veteran in Taj Gibson. You know what I'm saying? So that's not a bad combo. That, you know, if you're going up against other teams' twos, and you're probably playing your defensive lineup coming off the bench, as far as the fours, you know, Taj Gibson, Mitchell Robinson, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing if you start Bobby Portis. And, you know, you need in the NBA scoring league, you need to get off the good starts. The only issue I have with that lineup is because it's kind of a smaller lineup. But you know what, Bobby Portis, you put him in with a Marcus Morris at forward, and another forward as well to go, you know, Julius Randle. That's not a bad, you know, trio at the 3, 4, and 5. You know, they're kind of interchangeable, whatever you want to look at it. The whole point of what I'm saying is to hide Mitchell Robinson, to hide his deficiencies with the fouls, the nonsense fouls, Dominic. That might not be a bad idea, but I don't think Fizdale will do that. Honestly, I don't see him doing that. But to bring up to your other point, Dominic, as far as Alonzo Trier actually did play well. He came off the bench. I was kind of surprised to see him get into the game on Friday. But he was instant offense. Like I compare Alonzo Trier to a poor man's Lou Williams. You know, Lou Williams from the Clippers, you know, the journeyman who's been on multiple teams. Not quite Jamal Crawford, because Jamal Crawford was a dominant six man with the handles. But Trier did very, very well coming off the bench. When the offense needed a spark, he definitely did his thing. He was productive in the minutes I saw Alonzo Trier. And that kind of – and I'm actually rooting for Alonzo Trier. I like his game a lot. We always said that he probably has to play behind Wayne Ellington, who didn't play as well. You know, I mean, he shot 50% from three on Friday. We need a sniper. We got to find ways to get Alonzo Trier. Let me ask you that question, Dom. How do we get Alonzo Trier into the lineup? Well, you need offense. Elfrid Payton was not giving you no offense. I don't care about the traditional point guard role or whatever. How do we implement – how does Fizdale implement points like Alonzo Trier? We don't want to waste points with this team. How do you get Alonzo Trier implemented into this offense, Dom? How do you look at that?
That's a good question, and you made me go back to the first game the Knicks played. And I think he had 14 points with not many shots. I think he had maybe 10 shots. Steve, you basically answered your own question. The guys that we're bringing in after, let's say, a Barrett, let's just, for it's and giggles, Barrett's the shooting guard. You look around, Steve, where else are you getting points off the bench? I mean, like you said, Ellington, he had 12 points in the win, but he didn't do nothing the next game. I hate to say this, Steve, unless they keep Knox on the bench and have Knox come in as a small forward, you have Knox and Trier to give you some points. And if you started Portis, you at least have Mitchell to come in for some defense. Come on, Steve. This dude had 5,000, 10 minutes. He was showing signs of the Mitchell Robinson that everybody was waiting to improve on. Come on. We know the kid can block shots. But we also know he goes for a pump fake. We also know he jumps too quick. We also know he gets too many fouls. So if you went with Portis, Randall, let's say J.R. Smith, Barrett, and Morris as your five, or if I said Morris, Randall, whichever. And then you had Knox, Trier, Mitchell Robinson, possibly Taj Gibson coming off the bench. You're keeping defense with at least two guys that could score and one guy that could actually shoot and create his own shot. So, again, Steve, that's just me and you as Knicks fans talking out loud, but you just went down the list of who don't give you offense. Payton. We're not saying this as a negative like everybody thinks with Ntilikina. This is Ben Payton, who he's been, Steve. He's not that big of an offensive threat. He's never really earned the starting job since he left Orlando the first time. Ntilikina is what he is, 5.5 a game. You know, Dotson, I just looked up, he's hurt. So if you have Trier and Knox coming off the bench, that's not too bad. For two decent scorers, and then when Dotson comes back, excuse me, you find a way for him. And like I said, you still got Taj Gibson and Mitchell Robinson to give you some D with the second unit. I just don't think Mitchell Robinson's ready to start, Steve. It may be me. It's not a knock on him. He hasn't developed no real offensive moves. He's still prone to the head fake. He still had 5,000, 10 minutes. Granted, it was preseason game. Yeah. Granted, it was only your second preseason game, but, I mean, these are signs of what he did last year. I mean, the game before that, he had 3 fouls. So he's got 8 fouls in 2 games. I mean, you need the guys. Put it this way, Steve. If you had him rotating off the bench, then maybe we can sacrifice some of those fouls. You know, okay, you could be a little more aggressive because you're coming in and we're either down or we're up, so you have the opportunity to be a little more aggressive. But if you're starting and all of a sudden you got 3 fouls in the first quarter, now here we go. We're rotating. Granted, the guy's supposed to come in anyway. But at the end of the day, Steve, Portis gives you more offense, gives you more versatility. And he's 6'11", Steve. It's not like he's 6'8". I mean, he's taller than Wes Unseld. When Wes Unseld plays center, I hate to bring people that far back, but it's a positionless league too, Steve. Remember that. There's not that many real, true centers anymore. And I think Portis could probably get out on the perimeter a little better. He's more seasoned. He has more years. And again, Steve, this is just me and you, you know, having a conversation. Let's just see what Fizdale does. Because like you said, Steve, they're 15 players. I mean, I don't see a lot of offense, Steve. I think that's what's really scaring me. I don't see a lot of offense in this mix.
Do you think Fizdale could probably even have Trier? Now, Trier is turnover prone, too. Now, as much as I do like him, maybe it's trial by error. Maybe got to see more court time. You got to get more than 15, 17 minutes. But he had like 4 or 5 turnovers in the game last Friday. I'm not saying he's a point guard, but he's capable to actually play a little bit of point. I think we can all agree to that. I'm not saying you're a traditional point guard, but he can orchestrate an offense. I mean, he's a threat at the top of the key. I think he can play a little bit, and that probably can help the offense. Because if Peyton's not going to give you no points, and he's not going to give you but six assists anyway on a good or bad night, we have to find ways to get more scoring on the court and play a little bit better defense, because I think Trier can play, you know, decent defense on the perimeter. But your point as far as Mitchell Robinson, I think it's a fair point, man. Bobby Porter, we need to get off to some good starts. I mean, this is the NBA. We already know this. You create leads and you lose leads. But are we better off having Robinson come off the bench? If he's going to give you five personal fouls in 11 minutes, he might as well be a goon coming off the bench. I mean, I don't see what's wrong with that. But I just don't think Fizdale's going to do it. Or unless it's that bad or it's that blatant that – I mean, come on, Thomas Bryant – he's an okay player, but come on, he should not be causing foul trouble in the paint. The two shooters for the Wizards on Friday were burning our fours and fives, and that was headed by pump fakes by Mitchell Robinson, getting baited in 11 minutes of play. Basically, he was averaging a foul every 2 minutes. That's not good. I don't care if it's preseason or not. That's not good.
And they did all of that, Steve. They had that 41-17 second quarter, and Bradley Beal didn't even play. Imagine what he would have been doing on the perimeter.
They killed us on the perimeter.
That Trier thing, Steve, don't sound that bad, because let's say you can mix Trier and Dotson at the two guards coming in off the bench. That's not too bad. You know, the one thing I like about Trier, and I think we said this when he first came on, he's at least got energy. That don't equate to being the greatest defensive player in the world, but he has the energy to at least check somebody. You know, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, and he is a threat from the, I mean, call him what you want, ISO, whatever they call him now. He'll get you buckets. And in today's NBA, Steve, you need buckets, man.
You need buckets.
I don't want to
need buckets. Yep.
There's not – the funny thing, Steve, is not one team last year, team, held an opponent under 100 points. That's got to be the first time in a very long time that happened. The year before, I think we had two or three. Last year, we didn't have one. Not one team held a team under 100 points. So you can't keep preaching defense to me. And ain't nobody playing defense.
The other thing about Bobby Portis is that he does get to the line. Now, that's one thing Mitchell Robinson tries not to do. Now, he's trying and he's working on his free throws. He's been trying to, you know, remember when he first came into the league, it was terrible. But he's been working on it. I mean, it's still a long way to go, Mitchell Robinson, at the free throw line. Can't say the same about Bobby Portis. If there's ever was a case, and especially in the NBA, when you need to get points, he gets to the free throw line. And not only he gets to the free throw line, he's making his free throws. Bobby Portis makes his free throws. So that's something to consider. You can't – to me, when it comes to David Fizdale, and even if you have to bring it to a Scott Perry and Steve Mills level, if you want to talk this analytics stuff, how can you not dismiss the fact that you got a guy who probably could – get you 30 minutes a night at a young age of 24, get you to the free throw line 8 to 10 times and probably hit it at an 80% clip. And then if you're looking at 3 points, he'll knock down 33 to 35% of those. So how are you going to keep that guy on the bench for a guy who I definitely do like and I love his upside, but offensively is clearly not there yet. I know you could just Dom. Me and you, we watch a lot of basketball, dude. We over our years, especially you. You know, you watch way more than I have, and I watch my fair share. I could tell within the first two games of an NBA game, especially with the Knicks, if that guy's been working on his game or he's not been working on his game. And I can tell Mitchell Robinson is not there yet. I can tell that I watched a couple of these games. You can tell that he's been working on the jumper because he's showcasing it. But that's about it over the summer with him. You know what I'm saying? Everything else is still there from last year.
The weird thing is, Steve, we talked about Mitchell Robinson's fouls, and until just now, we skimmed over his offense, other than he don't have no go-to move. You're right. Can't shoot foul shots, you know. And the funny thing is, Steve, Bobby Portis is only 24 years old. 6'11". In that one game, he had, last game, he had 13, 9, 3 assists, 1 block shot in like 28 minutes. He is what he is, Steve. Sometimes you can just look at a player, look at his numbers and say, well, you know what? If he's been doing this, it must be who he is. And if Mitchell Robinson keeps getting 5 or 6 fouls, then guess what? He must be what he is. He can learn. Yes, he's 22 years old, whatever, 21, 22 years old. But again, Bobby Portis is 24. Let's stop looking at Bobby Portis with the incident he had in Chicago. That's water under the bridge now. New team, whole new, you know, whatever. Maybe that's what the stigma is, even though he's a Nick, we love him. But there's some people that are probably still looking at that incident he had, you know, with the one eye open, one eye shut. But you can't debate his talent, mm-hmm. Steve. You could debate what happened with the punch he threw, what his team made. But you can't debate his talent. This is who he's been for his years in the NBA, just like Julius Randle. Julius Randle has gotten better every year in the league. So you see the progression. With Mitchell Robinson, you see a tad bit of progression, a tad bit of regression. Progression, regression. You're not seeing no consistency with him other than the fouls and the foul shooting.
Right.
And you damn sure can't have that, Steve, coming down the stretch of a game. Sorry. I'm very sorry. No knock against Mitch, but it's about winning. You can't have a guy that's going to give up fouls and foul shots and then a guy that can't hit a foul shot. That's like, you know, an oxymoron. But we'll see tonight. I'm pretty sure he'll start him.
Let's see.
I would be pleasantly surprised to see Porter start, but we'll see.
We'll see. Final thoughts for you, Dominic. We got the Knicks next week home opener versus the Spurs, but final thoughts on this episode and then the rest of the NBA going into next week as the league starts next Tuesday. What's your final thoughts? You ready for the NBA, man?
Yes, and I'm looking at the first 10 games, Steve. 5-5 is doable. 6-4 possible. 3-7, we might be seeing issues faster than we thought. The schedule is not that hard, but it's not a cupcake schedule either. So it's going to give us a test of both worlds, how we do against good, better teams and how we do against lesser teams. The first 10 games, Steve, to me, will dictate how this season's going to go. I know it's only 10 games, but like I said, you're playing good teams, bad teams. So if you come out of these games looking like 3-7, and five of them games, you should have won. But you know me, Steve. I'm always wishing for the best. Playoff push. And let's see what happens, man.
That's cool, man. Shout-outs to Dominic, Donato DP. We'll be back next Wednesday. I promise we're going to have a long post-game next Wednesday after the Spurs game, post-game versus the Spurs. Next Wednesday on our season opener. That's weird that we want to open up in Texas and then come back at home, kind of at home, versus Brooklyn.
8:30.
Yeah, that's going to be a long night, but I'm ready for that, man. Ready to talk NBA, man, because we're going to talk opening night on Tuesday. That's going to be fun, man. I'm going to be staying up all night to watch these West Coast games as well, along with our Knicks, man. This episode on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. Shout-outs to Dominic, shout-outs to Knickerbocker Avenue, Mr. Live, and Chandler, everybody else. We'll be back for the regular season start next Wednesday after the game. Sandra Yeltsin, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.